Welcome to What's Money Got to Do with It? Based on the international best-selling book, where Heather and her co-authors share real-world financial scenarios and give you fresh new tools to help you move through your current financial state into one of abundance, freedom, and peace of mind. And now, here is your host, Heather Andrews.
Thank you for joining our show, everyone. Today, we are talking with Alana Heim, and it's her story that is really powerful and how she chose to publish it. And in that space, we're going to talk about the power of choice with changing your story and really what that means. Welcome to the show, Alana. I'm so excited that you are here with us.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
And so can you just give us a little bit of your background in terms of finances? Because I know that you've pretty much done it all.
Yes, I have nearly 20 years experience in the accounting, public accounting world here in the U.S. So I am a certified public accountant. I'm also a certified financial planner. I'm also a licensed insurance agent. And I've spent a lot of time both on accounting, but also the financial planning and helping people to get that bigger picture of their finances and pulling it together to really bring in the prosperity that they're seeking.
You've kind of gone from more of the corporate side to more of the holistic side of money.
Actually, looking at the spiritual, the abundance, the laws of prosperity, and wanting to understand how to manifest, right? We hear a lot of, well, let's manifest. And when we look at the strategic and technical side of accounting, it's very logical, it's very linear. And so there's a gap that I've found, and I love bridging the gap, bringing the understanding of more this intuitive spiritual side and having it work with the strategies and the technical aspects of money and finance.
And one of the ways that you've chosen to share your work amongst others with the world is by really publishing your story, publishing what you know. Can you give us a little bit of background around why you chose to publish and what you've published?
I've realized that we each have gifts. And my gift is this love and passion for numbers. And the numbers we often look at as money. And more when I realize this is something that I really enjoy, most people do not. They don't think they're good with numbers. They don't enjoy the financial and the money and tracking it, managing it. So it was a level of, I have this gift, it's time to share it, to get bigger, to get louder, to let people know that we're each here to share our gifts and help each other along the way. We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to struggle with it. And for me to come out and share in a bigger way, I just want to really be able to impact individuals so that they can change their money story as well.
And we're talking a little bit about that today in terms of like the current book that you just recently wrote in, but this wasn't not your first time. Can you give us a little bit of background around your previous book that you wrote in?
I also wrote a chapter in the book, Abundance by Design. Discover your unique code for wealth, health and happiness. And this has to do with one of the tools that I love to use, which is called human design. And it's an energetic blueprint where you get to understand yourself in the ways of what your purpose is, what your individual strategy is, how you make decisions. And I wrote the chapter money in this book to really bring in this aspect of not only the energy of who you are, but understanding the energy of money.
And when we talk about the energy of money, can you just describe that and what that actually is?
Yeah, because when you think of it, you hear more and more, everything is energy. The energy that you feel in the world comes from not only the sun and the planets and the earth, and you've got the rocks, the chair you're sitting in, the people around you, everything has this energetic component. And when we look at money, money's no different. It has an energy, but with money, it's a neutral energy. It's just there. And the energy that you feel from money is what you attach to it. So for example, if you grew up and you had limited money, so there was kind of that scarcity mindset, maybe mom and dad fought with money, they were in debt. They really just attributed all this negative energy to money. Then there's an element of you having that same belief and that attachment. And so every time you have money, you almost don't want it, right? Because you can feel the negative energy. You can feel that it's not good. It's dirty. It's bad. It's evil. Whatever you attach to it, when you have this awareness, you start to recognize, wait, is that really what money is? Because if I think of it in that view, it's not coming to me, right? Like the money isn't flowing. I want more, but underlying beliefs tell me that I don't want it because it's all those bad things. A really cool aspect to recognize in yourself of what you're attaching to money, what you're attaching to anything really in life, experiences, relationships. And when you have this underlying theme become and you become aware of it, now you can change it. Now you can see that money actually is neutral. It's not really evil. There may be evil applications, but when you can change your perspective, now there's more money flowing to you. And that brings you more joy. It brings you more ease. There's less stress. You can be excited with what you're doing to earn that money. And then you also see the value you're creating with that particular aspect of money. Does that make sense?
It does. So just to put it out there into what the world understands and our listeners is, I come to you and I say, Alana, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, literally, and I never have enough. How would you walk somebody through helping them change that story?
I would use human design first and foremost, because there's a level of let me see who you really are, and then let me help you see who you really are, right? So you already brought in the first piece, which is there's never enough. And there's never enough is kind of this limitation, right? We're seeing all the scarcity. We're not seeing the abundance. And we're looking externally, but external views are a reflection of your internal view. And so there's an aspect of believing you're not good enough. And I need to help figure out where that triggered and guide you to see that you really are good enough. That if your parents told you you're not good enough, or maybe you had certain experiences in your life that kept showing you this theme or this pattern, we need to break the pattern. We need to really go in and look at what was the learning or the blessing that came through the experience? Because there's always this bigger aspect that we don't really see as to why there's never enough. And if we think of debt, right, debt's already a very negative word. Like if, as I say it, debt, can you feel in your body where it's just like this heaviness, right? It's like, oh, I can't breathe right now. Oh, let's all take a deep breath. So there's an aspect too. When we constantly think of it and see it as debt, it's weighing on us, right? And then you do feel like, oh my gosh, there isn't enough. And you're trying to swim up to get out from under this block of heaviness. So let's just change the word. You know, even obligations feels a little less heavy, but responsibilities are less, right? It's more empowering. And there are certain aspects that we can change in the way we view it. So if we think we're in debt, maybe we are, but sometimes it's more that we have these responsibilities, we have these loan payments because there is an asset attached to it, and really you're not in debt, but you do have worth or you have a value. So even if you have a car, for example, if you have a car, you have a loan, you're not really in debt with that particular loan because you have an asset that's worth more. And so sometimes we get kind of confused with the terms, and we all don't want to have, let's say, the loans. But when we can start to shift the view and go, wait, I actually have value. My car is worth more than the loan. My house is worth more than the mortgage. You can already start to see that, wait a minute, I'm not so underwater as I feel, but if it still is holding this power over you, then let's work on not only the inner beliefs, but the financial management of how we can pay those down faster and allow for you to create more cash flow so you have that flexibility and that freedom to go create what it is that you really want.
It is shifting the belief because, and it is a self-worth, but, and just having, but then there's also the side of the obligation or the choices that we make with credit card debt. And I mean, I know life happens, but what is the, like, because there's no asset to attach to credit card debt. That was just stuff that you purchased because you needed it, wanted it, or you had to pay us another bill. So how can you rework that and change so that it doesn't feel like, oh my God, I've done this and I should have never bought those new shoes that I wanted and that purse that looked so great with my pink skirt. That's really, because we all do it.
Yes. So this comes into looking at your values. And values are the things that are really important to you. And they're not always the things that you see. Sometimes we can say we value like behavior in the way of, and really it's more this label of that the aspect of who you are, the integrity, you value being honest. You can value some of these things, but there's also a level of looking at what's in your life, these areas. Do you value your family? And do you value your job? And which one is actually a higher value? And so if you're constantly spending on, let's say, these consumptive expenses, the one, or even destructive, like they're not helpful, they're actually hurting you financially, and you keep going and putting items on a credit card to make you feel better, right? So there's somewhere you're not feeling good, but when we look at the value of what's really important to you, and maybe financial freedom is up there too, then we have to shift how you're spending to align with what it is that you really want to create in your life. And there's a disconnect. So if you're also spending on things that later you're regretting, there's some emotional attachment, right? There's a part of you that didn't feel good, maybe was emotionally upset, and you thought that the quick fix of buying shoes was going to make you feel better. But in the long run, it made you feel guiltier, more guilty and like shameful and all of these things and regret. And so there's a part of you that's like, oh, I should go take it back. And I know, I have known people who do that. They'll buy stuff and then they take it back. And that's okay. But it's part of the experience. It's part of you recognizing this. So now you can shift it and say, oh my gosh, if I really want to create financial freedom, then shopping and splurging on my credit card isn't going to get me there. What do I need to change that? And that's where they may need somebody like myself or somebody else who can help them to see that they need more of a plan and to stick to it. But when these bouts of emotion happen, that you have the ability to talk to somebody and start to shift the energy so you're not stuck in this pattern thinking, well, this is just what I do. You know, I'm a compulsive spender. And when I get upset, it, you know, I have to go spend. So there's these deeper roots that also have to be shifted to allow for the debt or the credit card expenses to slowly dissipate and for them to naturally feel good because they're actually saving rather than spending.
And I think I love how you really hone in on the emotional side of money. Because I know when you did my human design, it was like, oh, how interesting is that? Because all this stuff holds true. It's just when you ran all of my numbers and things like that, it was hugely interesting to me because it really did make me think about, oh, okay, this is very, very cool. and the other thing too is like when I stepped into the world of entrepreneurism more or less, and I started my business, there was a whole financial shift that needed to happen. And it was one thing, we don't think of racking up student loans to go to university. But I know with myself, I mean, I heavily invested in my company to grow it. And I love the way that you put it into perspective of there's an asset attached to it. And there's a responsibility to create more into alignment to where you want to go and create. And for the longest time, I beat myself up over the fact that I had created this investment piece but it was almost like going back to school. But to start something, I needed to have that operational cash flow to get me started. And, you know, and I beat myself up over it for a really long time because I felt like, well, why didn't I have that money saved? Well, who knew I was going to start a business? And so just, you know, having, you know, and that, and what I learned in that space of changing my own money story and relating it back to an emotional place that it came from, and then really working through that space of financial and not enough and abundance and making all those shifts, the money comes now, or the opportunity to make the money comes to serve. And that I think has been the biggest, you know, the biggest thing. So if I get a bill in the mail, it's like, okay, somebody needs to pay their bill so that I can pay this bill. And you kind of just, and because you trust that it, the opportunity or somebody will provide that, like it is provided when you actually allow it and you open to it. And I know that it's really a hard concept to understand when you're in the thick of it, and you're drowning in financial debt or something like that. But it's a very interesting shift when you can come out of that and look differently and still and view it from an abundant perspective.
It's really hard because when you look around the world, it's fear-based. Everything is a scare tactic. Everything is designed in a way to have you fearful. And that's scarcity mindset. That's where we think there's not enough. We think there's lack, right? If you think of food and water, a lot of times there's this fear of we've got over 7 billion people on the planet and there's not enough food. There's not enough water. But we all are evolving consciously and spiritually and financially, and we're recognizing, wait a minute, we can collaborate and create new ideas and new ways of doing and being than ever before, that we can create more. We can work together to have this win-win situation. And that allows us to move into abundance. That allows us to see that there's prosperity everywhere in any aspect on the planet, not just food and water, but with yourself. And when you can trust that you're taken care of, that you've got your business and it's all going to work out. And the deeper piece is recognizing the investment you're here to make for you. We don't think that way, right? We live in this collective world and we're told it's not good or it's bad to think about yourself and take care of yourself first. And more, it's why, especially as women, we may not nurture ourselves as much, but men, there's this level of, they think they have to go out and, you know, provide for their family, but we all have to take care of ourselves first, invest in ourselves, especially if you're listening and you are starting a business or you've already started a business. The mindset is lack. There's not going to be enough clients. I've got to hoard and I've got to hold on to. But just as you're saying, Heather, it's very important to recognize the investment in yourself and in your business. And the more you do that, you're not going in debt. You're putting yourself out there. You're creating more value, not just for you, but for the world around you. And you're becoming this person, this entity, however your business is structured, where you're of service. And when you're of service, you're actually creating more in the world. And you're helping the world to shift towards that feeling and that trusting ability of abundance and seeing that there is enough and that you are enough. It all starts to tie together.
Absolutely. And I love how you just put such a practical place to it, how you've taken all of your knowledge between an accountant and a financial advisor, and you've brought it all back around to that, you know, holistic and prosperity abundance based, and just and attached it all into this into this one. It makes so much sense when you talk about it. And I know, just even on my own journey, and that's why, you know, as a publisher, I thought I'm bringing people together to talk about money, because I see it on Facebook every single day about, and I hear it in my clients' voice as they want to publish a book, or they want to, you know, create something different. And it's just like, I can't, I don't have the money. And it's like, okay, so how do we get that for you? Well, I don't know. I'm doing this, but I'm not getting the return. Okay. That automatically tells me that there's a block somewhere, and, or there's something that's just not, in that, or you can hear in their wording what it is. And it's just, it's always very interesting to me. And that's why I wanted to do the compilation, What's Money Got to Do with It? And that's how you and I met. And so can you just give us because I really wanted to bring all these people together that had gone through money struggles, money stories, and then how they've totally turned their lives around. And they've also gone into the financial world to help others walk through their own story. And that's why we did this book. So I am just so blessed that you came on board. And so can you just give us a little bit of an overview of what your story is about, in, or that chapter is about in this book?
I mentioned earlier, I have this love of numbers. And so that's kind of the theme for me in this chapter, because I've loved numbers since I was a kid. I was good at math. I always knew I loved math. And so that's kind of where I was very unsure of my path, my career. I didn't know where I was going, even going off to college, and just knew that numbers, follow the numbers. So I did. And that led me to accounting. And the more that I expressed this love, the more pushback or kind of judgment, I would say, I got from people, because they didn't have this love and they hated accounting, and they detested it. And so what I found is more and more, I kind of began playing small. I got smaller in not wanting to share my passion and my gift. And I had some experiences, and I touch on that in the book, of, you know, being turned down by a client because of my age. And even then it was like, oh, the numbers aren't in my favor. I was too young, let's say, or I looked too young and too inexperienced. And so there's this level of, when you're out there looking for an accountant, you know, it's hard to know who you're looking for and who has the experience. But I had this passion, but I stopped kind of really letting it shine. And what I realized is I was more and more out of alignment with what I was here to do with numbers and money and accounting and financial aspects. And that didn't come until later, you know, only within the last few years, for me to recognize I wasn't living true to my own passion and my alignment for working with people, that it was so externally structured. And I love this internal. I love the internal spiritual side with emotional, fearful energy related to money. And really, I also dive into why it's so confusing for the world to want to take control of their financial well-being, because there's so many choices. And how do you know where to go with it? And just like I had to tune into what was true for me and the choices that I wanted to make and follow those, I really give the reader that same insight to begin to trust what feels right and to question your advisor, question the people that are here to help you, because if they are stuck in their own fixed way of working with you, they're probably not true, the right fit for you. There's a level of tuning into, okay, here's what I want. And if it's outside the box in the way of, you know, maybe you want to do more than just plan for retirement. Maybe you really want to start a business and you want to invest in yourself and create more cash flow in a way that fulfills you. And your advisor wants you to do it a certain way. I want you to recognize you have a choice. There's always somebody else who's going to be the fit that you need. And you have to follow that and honor it, or else you're going to not feel excited about your finances, and you're going to want to avoid it and push it off and let someone else deal with it. So really just giving this perspective to help more and more people realize that they can take control of their financial well-being. And it's important to do that.
I love this stuff. I could just talk to you all day. So as we move through and we start to wrap up our interview today, what would the three top things be that you would share with our listeners as to really like the three things that they can write down and they can say, right, I've got this and I can change my money story?
Number one, you are good enough. Because you are, you really are. And if you don't see it, then we need to shift that. Because guess what? We are all good enough. Number two, you are your greatest asset. Hence why you have to be able to look at what you're good at, that you're good enough. Because if you're here with all this financial money, let's just say something, if it were to land in your lap today, where are you going to place it? A lot of times we want to go get the toys and get all the fun things, but there's a level of investing in you is so important, because what you want is going to fulfill you. It's going to allow you to go create more and feel good along the way. And then number three, recognize that you have a choice in every situation. And I have gone through so many different life experiences that all tend to come back to the financial, and they sometimes feel not pleasant or not good. But when you can start to see that, wow, this actually opens me up, there's a lesson to learn and there's a blessing to experience.
I love it. And then where can people find you on social media?
I have a website. It's prosperityalignment.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn.
And the other thing is that as we wrap up today, thank you, Alana, for everything that you have shared with us and your brilliance. Alana is a part of the book, What's Money Got to Do With It, which launches on April 30th onto Amazon, along with 10 other people that have shared their money story and how they've moved through it and are now serving in that capacity, because it really is something that can change your life from a perspective that we just didn't even know possible. So once again, you've heard it from Alana, that the importance of money can be changed and your story can be changed. And that's why we invite you to join us on April 30th as What's Money Got to Do With It launches onto Amazon. Thank you, Alana, for joining us today and sharing everything that you know.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to our listeners. And once again, I'm Heather Andrews, helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and a resiliency for a better relationship with yourself, your others, and your money. So till then, go out and live your stellar life.
Now that Heather and her guest have shared a little about some real-world financial scenarios, she invites you to get your very own copy of What's Money Got to Do With It. Visit the Follow It Through Publishing website at www.followitthroughpublishing.com. That's spelled FollowItThroughPublishing.com. In this book, you will learn that financial success is anything but guaranteed, and that it is even more difficult if you have chosen to follow the entrepreneurial path. You will be given tools to help you focus on your freedom from debt, be grateful for your financial journey toward fiscal empowerment, and how you can forgive yourself for financial mistakes you may have made. Remember, success cannot be judged on your bank account alone. But if you want to create a positive shift in your bank balance, you will need to learn how to change your relationship with money. Do you have a story to share? If you are interested in becoming part of a book compilation, please contact Heather by going to www.followitthroughpublishing.com and clicking Contact. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit the Tenacious Living Network at tlrstation.com.